The Real Estate Revolution is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice. Please consult your trusted financial advisor, real estate professional, or attorney before making any real estate or financial decisions. Please remember, when following advice, your results may vary. And all information covered here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the hosts and guests consider important.
With the latest in real estate news, you can learn all the facts that will keep you on track and use them any way you choose.
And now it's time for a power hour from America's trusted resource for everything real estate. Everything in the real estate industry is in a constant movement of change. It's a real estate revolution with your host, Victoria Riva De Nera, and her co-host, Scott Forcino. Welcome to the Real Estate Revolution.
Revolution.
Good evening and happy Monday. I'm Victoria Riva De Nera, president of the Northeast Division for Exit Realty Corp International. And I'm also a New York State licensed real estate broker in the business for about 25 years. And I'm here tonight in the WFAS studio with all my boys, once again in the man cave. Yep, it is the man cave. And I'm looking out the window, Scott, and it is pitch black outside.
I know,
since
it happened.
Turned the clocks back.
That's the price you pay for that one more hour in bed.
I hate it. I absolutely hate it. And really, I don't think that it really saves. They did this to save energy. I don't think it saves energy. Do you?
It did, like, under Jimmy Carter, and they did this for farming, and Reagan and two other presidents pushed it back. It used to be earlier in September. I remember as a kid. Remember?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, like Halloween.
Wait, way back in what? What year was that?
80-something. It was Bush went another week, and I think Reagan went one more week. It was for farming. And by the way, here's a good trivia question. Now that we're on it, what two states don't do it?
Arizona and Hawaii.
Oh, shit.
You thought you had me.
Yeah, that's right. It's too much sunshine.
I'm smarter than you think sometimes,
right? You did
right?
some research. I don't know if you know.
I did know that.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of...
I've been
of,
in both states, too.
I'm a big fan of Arizona. Mm-hmm. I've not been to Hawaii
been, yeah,
yet. Can you imagine? I have not been to Hawaii.
On the honeymoon.
Yep.
Got it.
I will get there.
Lucky girl.
Anyway, tonight we are talking about title... Did you say lucky girl about your husband?
Honeymoon. Yeah.
About your wife?
Yeah. We mentioned the honeymoon, so I said lucky girl.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure you agree.
Yes, of course, because anyone who would be married to you would be very lucky, Scott.
Yeah. My
heart goes out to Heather every single day. We love you, Heather. We're talking about title insurance today.
Right? We are. Mm-hmm.
What is title insurance?
Well, I define it
it's definitely the most misunderstood part of the real estate transaction.
It's the most ignored, misunderstood, and the most expensive. People have really no preparation for the cost or understand the need. I define it as a policy, an insurance policy, that ensures that a buyer has complete ownership. It is the conveyance of the title from the seller to the buyer is free of liens and encumbrances, and that allows the bank to use it as collateral and have their lien in the first lien position so they get paid first in the event of a foreclosure. But we have Glenn Asher with us today.
Yes, he's a very special guest. We're going to introduce him shortly. But I just want to get back to the topic of title insurance, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of things that can go wrong. And we sometimes think that the world is a really great place, but I like to think that it is. But there are people out there that are always scamming. You know, and you laugh. Do you know some of those people, Scott?
I know that there's a lot of issues that where title companies have been dealing with the mortgage mess foreclosure still to this day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And there's been instances where renters posed as sellers, where sellers have a partner or even a spouse that is no longer living in the home, and they go ahead and claim that they have 100% ownership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all know those stories. And, you know, of course I have a couple of fun facts for you today. I know you love my fun facts.
Go ahead. I'll tell you.
That has nothing to do with title insurance, but, you know, I was researching some of the scams that go on, and I found this very interesting story. It's about a guy out in Wichita Falls, Texas, back in, I think, 1919 it was. It was a long time ago. You know what he did? He implied that he was going to build a 480-foot skyscraper, but labeled all of the plans 480 inches. And then he built a 40-foot-tall building, as per the plans, and he kept all of the investor money. And here's the kicker. He won in court when they all took him to court and sued him because he didn't actually
full disclosure.
Anyone.
Sure. Abraham Lincoln lost two homes because title insurance was not yet...
it wasn't not, around.
Not around.
Right. What year did title insurance start, do you know?
Don't know. I don't know.
Guess, I don't know either. Maybe Glenn would know
Glenn
that.
Might
we'll
know.
Ask
he's
him that later.
His avid historian.
Yep. So we're talking about scammers. In Michigan, there was a house that was slated for demolition, and the owner switched the number of his house with his neighbor's house, and the wrecking crew came, and of course they knocked down their neighbor's house and not his.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I get some hypotheticals and some client questions for Glenn tonight.
All right, you just want to go right to title insurance, don't
well,
you?
Well, I mean, you tell me what else.
You just can't wait to introduce Glenn. I know it's very exciting that we have Glenn Asher in the house right here in the WFAS studio. Glenn Asher is the Executive Vice President of Business Development for Kensington Vanguard. Kensington Vanguard is the largest privately held title company on the East Coast. And welcome.
Thank you.
Glenn. We're happy to have you here. And
thank
Scott
you.
Could
thank
not
you.
Wait to introduce you.
I feel so honored, Scott.
You two conspired because I said, we'll be doing Monday.
Yes.
Glenn, you didn't tell me you were coming, Victoria. You didn't tell me
it
tonight.
Was a surprise.
I just happened to get off a plane about 3 hours
got
ago
it.
From Florida.
Speaking of a plane in Florida, are you a New Yorker or are you a Floridian?
Well, I am always a New Yorker and always will be a New Yorker. But just recently we opened an office down in Miami, and I've been spending some quality time down there, expanding nice. Business. The real estate market down there is unbelievable right now again.
That's
and,
awesome.
Strike it while it's hot. So we opened an office down there in South Beach.
And I see you're throwing lots of very fancy parties too, right?
Well, you know, one of the things that I do to help grow business is bring a lot of industry professionals together and throw keeping it real estate parties.
Nice.
You know, have real estate centric people around. So we want to include bankers and attorneys and developers and mortgage professionals and, you know, everything from interior designers to architects, all facets of the real estate industry.
And you have one of these big events coming up. Right.
Yeah. So we have we just did a launch party for Kensington Vanguard down in Florida on the Biscayne Lady. I'll give everybody the social media applications later so you can check out the video. But we had some of the top Florida real estate agents on the boat, from Daniel Matusiak, who is a realtor from Sarasota on the West Coast, does a lot of East Coast marketing, Action Realty of Sarasota. He's great, great guy, 30-plus years in the industry. We had Ben Moss on there. Ben Moss just recently sold a professional athlete. I forgot his name. He is the premier guy for Sotheby's in South mm-hmm. Florida. He runs the sports and entertainment division. So he has a team of people. He brought them on the boat. Citibank was gracious enough to come in and sponsor the event. They were an unbelievable strategic partner and are doing very big things in South Florida. We also had guys like Chad Carroll on the boat from Million Dollar Listing Miami and his team and a slew of other individuals.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I travel quite a bit, and a lot of people say that they watch me on Facebook and they just get tired. There is one person that I watch that really exhausts me, and that is you. You are definitely the master of building relationships, and you seem to be all over the place.
Thank you. I guess that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
You know, I try to do these events as often as possible. I think it's good for everyone. I think putting quality professionals in a room together, or a boat, or an event, or a nightclub, or a lounge, or what have you, putting them all together in a room and letting nature take its course. You know, not everyone is going to get along with everyone. Not everyone is on the same page. But your idea and my idea to go to these events, if I can land 3 to 5 clients that are consistent clients, I did my job. If I go after everyone and get 3, great. You know, who knows in my industry and other industries what'll happen down the line.
That's great. So we're talking about title insurance, and mm-hmm. we definitely have you in the house on that because you are the expert. And Scott gave us a brief description of what title insurance is. Would you like to elaborate on that?
Sure. I mean, Scott pretty much hit the ball on the head. I mean, you know, title insurance could be looked at as two different things. So the first part of the actual process is getting the information from whether it be the consumer, the attorney, the realtor, the banker, what have you, getting that information, searching public records, pulling information from the counties, pulling data from the tax departments, the municipalities, creating a report. That report now gets sent out to all parties, and that has all the information that you need from our examiners, who are licensed professionals throughout the entire country. We're a national firm. So the process in the beginning is pretty much the same by getting the report together, then providing that information to all the parties. Once the parties have the information, then things take their course. So in New York, where we're an attorney-driven state, if it's a purchase transaction, the title is reviewed by the seller's counsel. Mm-hmm. The seller's counsel now works with our clearance officers to work on anything that pops up on title. And what could pop up? An old mortgage, a judgment, environmental control board lien, somebody...
Tax lien,
federal tax lien, state tax lien, in Florida.
Undisclosed heirs, things like that.
Undisclosed
too, right?
Conveyance of title. Even in instances like Florida, for instance, where people do work on houses and put a mechanics lien on the property on the day they get hired to ensure that they're going to get paid back.
Makes sense. They do that here.
Right. So we search all those records. Once we search the records, we work with the other professional individuals around us, whether it be the attorneys or the realtors or the consumer themselves, to clear up any of these happenings, whether it be, and you know, sometimes there's no information. You know, it makes it very, in the last 5 years, it's been a lot more difficult to clear title and to present marketable title.
Why is that?
Because a lot of the companies went out of business. So what happens if, you know, Victoria owns a title company and Victoria's title company goes out of business, and now I have to go back to her to see what she did to clear an old issue prior to her insuring the transaction, and she's out of business, her files now went to the underwriter. So now we have to track down the underwriter. It's almost like a bank going out of business and they sold their notes in a portfolio to another lender. It happens all the time, and now we have to track down those files. So the older the problems that exist, the more difficult it is for us to clear. And there's less people for us to contact in order to get that clearance done.
Okay, so I have a question for you.
Sure.
This is a consumer-based show, so there's a lot of consumers that are listening to this, and they're wondering, do they have to do this? Do they have to have title insurance? Do they have to go down this road? Is it mandatory to
There's no law in the United States that says it is mandatory to order to
but buy, lenders to will, buy title will require
insurance
it.
On a purchase of all cash. Every lender in the country requires title insurance.
Okay, so go back. You said that it is not mandatory on an all-cash deal.
Correct.
But a lender will require it.
Correct.
Would you ever recommend that someone not get title insurance? And maybe that's more of a question for Scott.
The only time is in family, when you know who your dad built a house.
I disagree.
Yeah, but what about the land prior?
I disagree. Right. Because what happens is, let's say it is a family member, and you did what's called a quick claim deed, taking someone off of title prior to conveying it. Now, any existence of liens or problems prior to them transferring title will still be open. Mm-hmm. You will also... they will have to sign affidavits throughout the whole transaction until they pass away. So I think title insurance is mandatory.
How far back does it go on that search?
We do a 40-year search on a purchase and a 10-year search, or a search back to the last insured transaction, fully insured transaction. So if you did do a quick claim deed, meaning you deeded somebody on or off the property, and it wasn't a market value policy, we then go back to the insured transaction. So you might have transferred title for a quick claim deed for not market value, for zero consideration, as it's called, but 20 years before you is the last time we did it, what's called a bona fide purchase. We go back 20 years to search that file and those records until there was an actual.
So your recommendation is definitely always have title insurance, always
absolutely.
Take out that policy. And Scott, you're saying not necessarily.
I mean, for the reasons Glenn said, yes, if they did not do a quick claim deed, then you get away with it. I mean, if that's from family, you're not worried about they took a mortgage and reported. But that, you know, for the cost,
percentages on a whole scale, the percentage of family transactions is very small.
Sure. So, hold that thought. If you're a caller, if you are listening to our show, we would like you to be a caller. If you would like to call in, give us a call at 914-693-5700. We'd love to have you join the conversation, or if you have any questions, we're here to answer those for you. We are going to break.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage, they will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
And we're back. We're talking about title insurance with Glenn Asher from Kensington Vanguard and Scott Forsino, my co-host here. We do have a caller on the line. Hello, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
And this is?
Mike Brennan.
Oh, hi, Mike. I know you. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you guys tonight?
Awesome. Are you joining in the conversation?
I am. It's a great topic, and I'm glad to hear that you guys are covering it.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to get back to Glenn. You were talking about.
Well, we were just recently talking about the search part of it. I just want to go into the second part of it. So the second part of title insurance is actually a policy, just like you would call Geico or Esurance or Allstate or State Farm or Liberty Mutual or any of these insurance companies and purchase a policy. The only difference with our policy is that you pay a one-time fee. And every transaction, you have to take title insurance, but there's no recurring costs.
Now, you're talking about costs. So costs are regulated. So
that's correct.
Are there certain costs in different states, or how does it work?
Title insurance premiums are regulated on purchase and refi transactions, construction loans, vacant land. It's all based on a manual. So that is regulated by each state. Each state has its own state-specific pricing. There are other costs like settlement fees and notary fees and other pass-through fees. And different states have different regulations. So, for instance, Pennsylvania, the most you can charge legally on the settlement side is $250 for a settlement fee. A notary can only charge up to a certain amount. Certain states have different guidelines.
So the fees are different in different states.
They are completely different.
You have to check with your local state and your local practitioner.
Or you can email me and we have a website that gives you rate calculations throughout the country.
Okay. Scott, you look like you have a question.
Yeah, I have a few questions on behalf of consumers because I've heard them, and I want to bring in the real estate agent, I guess, opinion as well. People say, have said to me in the past, well, Glenn, you know, why does it cost so much?
Well, I mean, that's a jaded question.
How's it calculated? Is it $100,000?
I mean, does it cost a lot if you don't take title insurance and your fence line is 10 feet over on your neighbor's property? And now when they go to sell, they can't sell. So now they sue you?
Could be. And is that one of the things that one of the coverages we cover.
So okay. we cover the legal description. We get a new survey.
What's
the
legal description?
The legal description is simply the plots of land and how it's measured. How big it is. So, you know, it's a lot of fancy jargon to say it's from A to B and B to C, bottom line.
And when I go to closing, if I have a owner's policy, do I pay for that, and I pay for the bank's policy as well?
That's correct. So there are two types of, and that's a good question. There are two types of policies. So there's an owner's policy, which protects the consumer directly with the title insurance company, and then the lender's policy, which is the bank required loan policy, which is a much cheaper rate. And in some states, when you take an owner's policy, it's a simultaneous rate, so you only pay $25 for a loan policy as compared to an owner's policy that could be up to $2,000-$3,000. But that protects both the consumer and the lender. So if the lender is being protected, they want to ensure that they're in first lien position, as you stated in the beginning, if anything comes about and there's a foreclosure. Now, there's only a few things that come in front of a lender's first lien position, and that would be a federal tax lien, child support.
Or real estate taxes?
No, not unless it's a lien. And not even a state lien, just a federal lien.
Okay.
Hold that thought. We have a caller on the line. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, and you are?
Tatha Jordan.
Oh, Tatha, we know you too.
Yes.
How are you today?
Good, how are you?
All right. Are you joining in on the conversation, or do you have a question here for Glenn?
I'm joining in on the conversation. You had a conversation a little before the break about whether or not, you know, you should advise a buyer to not get title insurance. And, you know, 15 years ago, it was very rare that people would purchase owner's title insurance, but that's changed drastically over the last few years. I think it's more unusual for somebody to not purchase owner's insurance than you know, before they would hardly buy it at all. And the legal world thinks so strongly about it that the New York State Bar Association issued an opinion probably 2 years ago now, that says that if an attorney advises their buyer client to not purchase owner's title insurance, it could be considered malpractice.
So, wow, that's an interesting fact.
Yeah, so I don't know of any attorneys in the state of New York that advise their clients not to purchase it anymore, unless they're close to retirement age and aren't aware of the New York State Bar opinion.
Or more recently... Now it's gotten back to, because business is back up again, but a few years back, you got a lot of attorneys who, when business was rocking 5-7 years ago, you know, saw that they were non-real estate based attorneys, and they didn't know much about the real estate transaction, but they were quote unquote family attorneys. And when somebody relied on them, rather than them looking in the best interest of their client and say, hey, listen, I really don't know real estate law, I don't know how to read co-op minutes or condo, you know, condo docs or offering plans, they try to take it upon themselves to handle the transaction monetarily so that they could benefit, rather than transferring it on to a professional who, you know, if I'm an attorney that does real estate and you ask me to do a divorce case, I don't know what I'm doing. That's not my forte.
I have a question for you as you're talking about that. Who should be recommending the title company? Because you said earlier that the seller's attorney is the one who's reviewing it.
Correct.
But it's the buyer who really needs the protection. And then you have the real estate broker, and then you also have the lender. So
correct.
Who is the one that should really be recommending that? And Tatha, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was going to say that's a custom area thing, because up here in Saratoga, Albany, like the Capital District, it's the buyer's attorney. The seller's attorney doesn't review title. So it's just, there's different customs, a lot of different customs in areas of New York.
Well, they each have to for different reasons. I mean, the seller does declare it. It's their obligation to clear exceptions. So can you talk about exceptions and omits and all
that? Sure. So exceptions on title, there are standard
Before you answer that, though, who should recommend? Who should recommend the title company?
Yeah, you know, the buyers, the buyer's paying for it. Okay, so the buyer's attorney in New York typically is the one to recommend.
Well, they order. They don't recommend. They order.
They order, but they also recommend to their client, you know, number one, usually who the person that they have a relationship with. Mm-hmm. And usually if it's a quality attorney, they're working with a quality title company. You know, Kensington has been fortunate enough to work with hundreds of the best law firms around. So we want to be chosen by the buyer's attorney. The seller's attorney typically is have to set up state, you know. For me, I think both attorneys should be reviewing title.
For different reasons.
So getting into what Scott said about exceptions, there are standard exceptions on title, and then there are exceptions based on specific transactional stuff. Mm-hmm. So the seller's attorney, and the reason why they review it typically, is because the issues on title are usually on the seller's side. So his relationship with the seller's side, is the easiest way to clear older issues. If I need to clear an old mortgage and the bank is out of business, and I need to see a copy of a policy or a HUD or some kind of document, the buyer's not going to have privy to that information. It would be on the seller's side.
Or a survey. Let's say a survey. The seller's had it. Maybe.
Well, any bank nowadays would want a survey updated within usually 3 months. And then a new survey if it's after 6 months. So, and that's a big factor. And you know, getting into the TRID stuff with surveys on purchases, you know, if it's a new survey that has to be ordered, there's certain counties that are taking
a month,
3 weeks, a month. You know, business is good again, and there are only so many surveyors out there, and to do a good job, they need time.
And what about the lender?
Weather's an issue, too.
Where does the lender fit into this? Because the lender is in alignment with the buyer. They want to make sure that the collateral on the house is going to be owned by that buyer.
That's correct.
So they want to look at that title policy
Title, there's always going to be title review, whether it be an underwriter at a lender, whether it be the processing department, the loan officer, a bank attorney, if it's a New York deal, a legal in the QC department. So different lenders, you know, interpret title differently, and they handle who's reviewing title differently. Title is definitely reviewed by the bank. Number one, there are closing protection letters or E&O policies in each state that have to be specific to that lender. They have to have what's called a mortgage E-clause, which is the trademark of where that lender is. There has to be a loan number on there that's specific. So, you know, Wells Fargo, for instance, has 30 offices that process loans throughout the country. Each division has their own mortgage E-clause. So you have to have that proper, mm-hmm. and that's specific to the collateral docs.
And at what point are they looking at it?
I think they looked at it after the person qualifies, because why do they want to review title if the person is...
No, they shouldn't even order title before the person qualifies.
Well, that's, you know, the buyers do, and sometimes I've seen where the attorneys, the person could get rejected based on losing a job or never having a job.
Correct.
And they waste the title. But the review, I know that the bank attorney doesn't get it until guy got a commitment. And then that's even an interesting thing.
Well, it depends on when people order title. So
right.
Typically,
there's no uniformity with that.
There is none. So typically on a purchase transaction, let's use New York because we're here, but typically, and then I'll talk about Florida also because completely different ballgame.
Very, very different.
Completely different ballgame. So in New York, the buyer's attorney is usually ordering title if they think that there's going to be an issue on title. So you're doing a three-family on Jamaica Avenue in Queens. The chances of having, I shouldn't say that, but there are more issues with that specific type of house than there is on a $15 million condo in Central Park West. Doesn't mean that the person in Central Park West doesn't have a $40 million tax lien either. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying that it's always the case, but at the end of the day, typically they order title right away. So attorney in New York gets a deal sheet from a realtor, the sellers prepare the contracts, sales counsel prepares the contract, sends it over to the buyer's attorney for review. After it's signed off on, then it usually comes over to the title company. We do a search. We reach out to the seller's counsel and find out if there's a recent survey that's been done. If there's not, we go back to the buyer's attorney and we say, would you like to get quotes on what a new survey would cost? Obviously, there's no upcharge on that. We have a survey department, but we don't do the surveys. We just coordinate them for the buyers and for the lenders and what have you. And we get the surveys endorsed to the underwriter and to the bank.
And when you say we, are we talking Kensington
Vanguard?
My
firm, correct. So that's one aspect. Now, in Florida, for instance, there usually isn't a buyer's and seller's attorney. More so on the higher end, then there becomes counsel to the seller, more so to the buyer. The realtors in Florida do a lot more, and the agents mm-hmm. around the country do a lot more transactionally, mm-hmm. not necessarily to negotiate the terms of the deal on showings. All of that remains to be seen based on the transaction, but the actual transactional work. So, for instance, in Florida, I get a purchase contract from the buyer's agent, mm-hmm. unless it's in, and I'm talking about South Florida, outside of Palm Beach County. In Palm Beach County, the seller's agent orders title. On the rest of South Florida, the buyer's agent orders title. And when they order title, they send over executed contracts. They usually CC their buyer, and then we send back wiring instructions for escrow. Mm-hmm. They send the escrow deposit to us, not the attorneys, because we're holding the escrow for the borrower. We send back the wire confirmation and a DocuSign or some kind of document signatory with an escrow deposit letter. They sign off on it, and once they sign off on the escrow deposit, then we continue with the transaction. We order title, we order what's called an estoppel letter to with the maintenance dues to make sure that they're paid on time, and then we continue with the transaction. Now, there's no attorneys to schedule the closings, there's no attorneys to coordinate tax adjustments. There's a lot more to do on a transaction nationwide than there is in
attorney
states.
So the settlement company does that. Correct.
So in New York, you have the attorneys as to help with the transaction. The realtor can kind of take a step back because they don't have to deal with that. Not that they're not in constant contact and play in between, mm-hmm. but
it's different. It's definitely different. We actually have Tatha still on hold, and also Mike Brennan. Mike, are you still with us?
Yeah, I am, and I actually have a question for everybody. And just thinking again that this is a consumer-based show, if I'm a consumer and I go ahead and I submit my mortgage application, I get approved, I get committed, but say the closing date isn't for another 60 days for whatever reason, maybe the seller can't move out, when should title be ordered? Are you guys saying that, correct me if I'm wrong, that title should be ordered once the actual approval is issued to the consumer?
Yeah, because they do continuation searches up until the closing.
To me, Mike, I want to keep as a title company the highest closing ratio possible. Title insurance is expensive to process and to go through to order the searches, especially in New York where you have municipality searches. Some counties are charging $150 for a C of O search if the lender is requiring full municipals on a file. Or the buyer's attorney requests full municipals, which they always do, it becomes very expensive to not only order the search, but maybe you've ordered a survey and we didn't charge up front because of relationships or because, we know that the buyer is quote unquote good for it, which we get beat on too. But all of these deals that don't close, we don't charge back to the borrowers or to the mortgage companies. So, when you talk about costs and the cost of title insurance, that's not a factor into the equation. What happens to all the borrowers that don't close? So, Mike, to answer your question again, we want to keep it as we want to make sure that the appraisal comes in, that the commitment is issued. Listen, we're in an industry with a lot of variables. Things are going to happen. People are going to lose jobs. Sandy was a big factor in the mortgage world and the weather and floods, and those are uncontrollable things. But the things that we can control, we want to try to control. So we want the title application order to go in when it's a quote-unquote real deal. When the appraisal comes back, that make sure that the borrower's DTI is correct, to make sure that they qualify in there.
So are you saying after all the T's are crossed and all the I's are dotted, that's when you order title? It's the very last thing you do?
I mean, it's not the very last thing you do, for sure.
Well, that's the old-fashioned way. I know. That's what the old-fashioned way. However, during the great boom days, you just ordered it because it didn't matter.
Right.
You wouldn't
right.
want the last thing you want to hear is, well, the buyer's attorney didn't order title.
Right.
So you're the bad guy.
Yep.
Right. So that's that's the point.
And that's the whole TRID question now is, when is title ordered? Am I right, Mike? I mean, you guys at Movement, I mean, we were fortunate enough to close one of the first TRID loans in the country on a purchase with Movement Mortgage, and their systems are unbelievable, but not everybody's systems are as good and as quick and as efficient, so it makes it difficult. Mike, when do you typically want title ordered on the bank side?
And that's kind of where I was getting at, and it's like, even when we were there talking about TRID, you know, the most important thing is making sure that the expectations and the communication is there from the beginning with all parties. Because I don't think there's a definite right or wrong answer on when to order it. I think, you know, as we all know, when it looks like everything, as Victoria said, the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, that's when it's there. So if the communication is there and we know that, you know, the appraisal's in, the value's there, the file has been underwritten, the consumer is close to clear to close, which is done for us up front, you know, I think that's important. As long as there's the right communication, because even if everything's cleared and it's not closing for another 30 days, we would want to make sure that the title's cleared, there's nothing outstanding, so there's no last minute things. So, but I agree with you. I think there needs to be some certain due diligence done up front. So if the consumer's underwritten, they're approved, and the main conditions are clear, then that's when we would go ahead and proceed with title. And of course, I mean, getting back to what you guys said, you know, earlier, it's important that you have the right, title company that you utilize. That can get things done in an appropriate manner.
Okay, we are going to go to break. If you would like to join in on our conversation or if you have a question, please give us a call at 914-693-5700.
Have you ever been disappointed because something important you planned went wrong at the last moment? Doesn't that make you really frustrated? That won't happen at Movement Mortgage, where your entire loan process is designed to remove the stress and hassles from getting your loan approved quickly. Movement Mortgage is an Inc. 500 fastest growing company in 42 states, including this area, working hard for you. How? At Movement Mortgage, your loan is processed in 7 days, and we underwrite in the first 48 hours. We expedite your loan and update you continually. When buying your first home, upgrading, downsizing, or even refinancing, call your Movement Mortgage team today. The movement of change is here for you with Movement Mortgage. Call Movement Mortgage at 1-800-516-2119. That's 1-800-516-2119. Movement Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS ID 39179.
The movement of change is here. Movement Mortgage.
This is Paul Oster, the nation's credit repairman, and I want to help you improve your credit. As the CEO of Better Qualified, I've helped thousands of people over the past 10 years. I'm the credit expert for Fox Business News and all the major networks. I'm a certified FICO Pro that uses the consumer laws to help delete negative information off of credit reports. We have a debt elimination program that focuses on the laws surrounding collections, judgments, and charge-offs. You could be entitled to up to $1,000 per violation. Call now for your free credit consultation. 888-533-8138. That number again, 888-533-8138, or visit us on the web at betterqualified.com.
Whether you're looking to buy a new home or refinance, Annie Mac Home Mortgage offers competitive rates, a wider array of products, and best customer service available in the lending industry. They have renovation loans for the almost perfect home that just needs a little work. If you want to get a new home built, they have construction to permanent loans with competitive rates and quick closings. Annie Mac Home Mortgage has federally insured FHA loans for borrowers who have had credit problems in the past and no down payment. VA loans for current and former members of America's Armed Forces. Whatever loan product, our licensed mortgage originators will walk you through every step of the process and take the time to work with you individually. Talk to us. Annie Mac won't just get you a mortgage, they will get you the right mortgage for you. Call Annie Mac Home Mortgage at 1-888-242-1313. That's 1-888-242-1313. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMSL 338923. Annie Mac Home Mortgage is a licensed lender by the Colorado Mortgage Company Registration.
Call Annie Mac.
And we're back. We have Mike Brennan from Movement Mortgage on the line with us. We have Glenn Asher here from Kensington Vanguard. And we have Scott Forsino in the house. And we are talking about title insurance. And you mentioned TRID. You want to talk a little bit about TRID?
So TRID just took form. And
what is it? Tell everyone what it is.
So TRID is another government regulation on the industry. There is no more HUD settlement statements. There is no more HUD. The CFPB and TRID has come up with a new closing disclosure. There are tons of regulations that I don't want to get into because it'll take all night. Mm-hmm. But there are websites that explain what TRID is. Once I give you
why
my information,
why is that important to title?
So TRID is being TRID is a governing body. And there's timing issues and when you can do what and who has to send the closing disclosure form to different people. So because of that, different lenders and different realtors have different relationships in the transaction. And it's really important, and I really feel strongly about this. You know, the lenders that are doing business nationwide, okay, have a governing body to abide by. The title companies are the ones that have to work with all of these different lenders and the settlement agents to get on the same page, quote unquote. And when I say that, you know, pre-HUDs and fees need to be disclosed up front. So, for instance, with us, when you order a title or before you disclose to a borrower, we have our clients emailing us, and when you get a formal confirmation after you've ordered a title, a pre-HUD is automatically sent back to the client. And why is that? Because they need our fees to disclose. So a lot of these lenders have gone to third parties like Closing.com, Closing Corp, RealEC, which is a third-party vendor management system that manages the interaction between lenders and title and settlement agents. To manage everything from the time at which it takes to turn title around to the closing fees, and the mortgage softwares like Encompass are now integrated through these third-party vendors with our proprietary software. So, for instance, we now have to provide our national fees, which are state-regulated and don't change, to these third-party vendors, so they upload them into the system so that when a mortgage application is taken, the lenders have those templated fees in the system, so they're on the same page with us. So, you know, there's a lot of rules and regulations. At the end of the day, the bottom line is that the borrowers have a longer time period to review documents prior to closing.
Right.
And I think that any good banker, any good broker, any good loan officer or mortgage professional has already been through this process. And so they have reviewed the final numbers.
Well, we have Mike on the line. Mike, do you want to add to that?
Yeah, sure. Well, and I'll just say, I mean, again, we truly believe that TRID was actually a change for the better because, again, what it does is eliminates where, you know, if a consumer is giving figures day one, that it's not going to change drastically. It's not like they're going to go to the closing table and find out that they need $10,000 more or the fees are higher or this. You know, so now it's as Glenn was saying, it's more important to make sure that maybe a little bit slower in the beginning, but making sure that you're giving the right information and figures to the client that's not going to change throughout the process. And even on top of that, you know, the days of the client waiting to get a call from the lender the morning of the closing saying, hey, you need to bring X amount to closing, is really done. They're going to have 3 days to review it. They're going to know the numbers. They're going to know, make sure that it matches up, and they're going to be fully aware of what needs to be brought to the table. You know, what TRID does is just eliminates a lot of surprises, right? There's not going to be any last minute, oh, we forgot this, we need to add this in there. It's just kind of keeping us all accountable on all parties, whether it's title, attorneys, real estate fees, everything is, we're all going to sit there up front and say, okay, these are the fees, this is how it's going to be. There's not going to be a change. If there is a change, it actually has to go back through the redisclosure process. So nobody wants to do that. So they're going to make sure they kind of, like I said, double check the numbers before it goes out.
Okay, but Mike, I want to address that. You know, I actually disagree with some of that because before it wasn't the bank that said your numbers are, it was the lawyer, like I did, let a borrower know day of, and they said, oh my goodness, I never thought of the biggest cost. What's title insurance? So that was day of, and what does TRID give you? 72 hours better? It's not a month earlier. It's 72
hours. No,
they're
getting disclosures. They're getting disclosures with the fees in the first, as soon as they take the mortgage application.
Faith. It was the good faith.
Right.
Right in the very beginning, and then 3 days prior to closing.
Right, but now those fees are locked in stone outside of change of circumstances, okay, like a double notary fee. So your borrower, there's two borrowers, husband and wife, one's in one state, one's in another. We have to add another $150 for another notary.
But there was on the good faith title. Disclosure on the title amounts,
correct,
which were ignored.
But you couldn't go over a 10% threshold. Now that 10% is different. Now there's a change of circumstance box, just like there was with the good faith estimate. But everything is told in the first week or the first 3 days
of that
application being taken,
mm-hmm.
Okay, and the program in which you're locking into as a mortgage company.
Right.
So now it's not 72 hours. It's they're getting the fees up front. Now the only changes that could be made are changes that go along with the process. And then they have to not only change them, but redisclose the whole program. If you change
prior to the closing.
Michael, what is the time frame if you change the loan program and you have to redisclose? Is it 10 days?
No, technically it's 8. because it's the 7-day disclosure rule, but you couldn't close them sooner than 8 days. And that's if you're doing a program change, changing it from one product to another.
Well, that's changing.
So
I mean, before, there wasn't a rule before.
Minimum 7 days.
There wasn't a rule before.
No,
right.
You could change it immediately.
And those changes, you can do it right there at
the
closing.
Happen all the time. That's an innovation and legislation to guard against abuses. We know that.
Of course.
As far as if you go lockstep, the good faith had the title numbers, so does the disclosure now.
Right.
People ignored it, and they'd say, whoa, what's title insurance? What's the biggest closing cost? Which does, I'll speak locally, have a mortgage tax.
Yeah,
here.
But let's put it back on the consumer. If you're getting documents that you're signing, and you're signing off on, and you're supposed to read those documents, and you have the information mm-hmm. the first week, then it's not on any of the professionals that are providing that information. Then it's on you as the consumer to not read the numbers or not ask questions before you sign those disclosures.
And towards that point, I'm glad we have Mike as the lender, we have Glenn at the title firm, and Victoria the broker, because I have a special place in my heart for realtors. Why doesn't the realtor talk about title from the time they're seeing houses in the Buick to the time they're getting their offer accepted to the time they meet their lawyer in New York for a contract? Why do they leave the biggest economic factor that they're going to face up to someone else?
First of all, it's not the biggest economic factor. The broker's fees of 6% are a lot higher.
They're not paid by the buyer, but you know that's another conversation we had. They're not written.
Technically,
they're funded, but why do they leave the mortgage tax, the title premium?
Yeah, why are you assuming that all brokers do not talk about title?
I'm
that's number
that,
one.
Because of my awareness of their practices.
Okay, so once again, every single show that we have, no matter what the topic is, you always ask that question, and my answer will always remain the same. That is the reason why you really need to choose the right broker to represent you when you're either selling or buying a house.
Okay, what's your experience? In your experience, not your specific, but in your observation of others, is...
Yes, there are many realtors that do not talk about this. Because once again,
because they don't know enough about it.
Yeah, this is
they don't
most,
know enough about it. That's what it comes down to.
It's the most difficult part of the transaction.
I
a lot of people are not familiar with
well,
it.
Well, then let me get you back in New York. You're in New York. So in New York, there's condos.
Right.
Forget about calls for this car. Do the New York brokers that might be listening in talk about title insurance?
They talk about closing costs, and I think they talk about insurance as part of those closing costs. Do they break down the fees? No, they don't. Not a lot of them. Some of them, and I work with a lot of realtors.
And they shouldn't.
I don't mean a breakdown, but maybe right. that it exists.
What a broker should do is give you the process of where you're going to go
correct.
From very beginning to the end. They should tell you what the costs are, you know, what you're going to pay for, not necessarily the specific cost, and then turn it over to the title company.
I think, Glenn, there are times
that you tell brokers to step back because this is a misunderstood portion of the transaction.
I do. So here's how I deal with realtors in New York and in Florida the same.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not selling houses. They're not selling title insurance. We have our own roles. I'm not a banker. Mike's a banker. We each have our own roles in the transaction. A fluid transaction goes when all of the members of the transaction can work together in the best interest of the buyer and the seller in explaining everything and getting the transaction closed.
Right. Everyone specializes in what they do.
Now, everyone has their own ideas and knowledge of the other's industry, but if you're working with the proper group and a group of professionals, mm-hmm. everyone can
but
rely
on
each other.
But I stay on the realtor because the realtor is the first point
hold
of
on,
contact. And then the
well, not necessarily. What happens to the guy who has $1 million in Chase and goes in for a pre-qual first into the branch before... he gets referred to a realtor. So
I expect
you're
that
wrong.
Chase guy to give him some disclosure, right?
What about the guy that comes in that's getting relocated and walked into right. Williamsburg
but once again,
and is renting for a month and now walks into a local branch and knows nobody? So that's not the case all the time. But realtors, what they should do, and this is my opinion, and I've listened to a lot of quality speakers talk about this, and I fully agree with it. If you're taking a listing as a listing agent, okay, your responsibility... And if I was a listing agent and I was taking on a $2 million townhouse or a $200,000 deal, I'm going to make X amount of dollars. I have to reinvest in myself prior to taking that listing. I have a lot of agents that work with me directly, and they are willing to pay the cost. And I don't upcharge, okay? Whatever it costs me, I provide that information. Remember, title insurance is also an information provider to the realtor, okay, for him to disclose before he takes that listing. For instance, you're in the North Shore of Nassau County, and you're the listing agent going on a listing appointment, and the seller bought the house 30 years ago, and there's a barn in the house, right? She bought it as is because 30 years ago, no one cared about a C of O for the barn.
That happens all the time.
It happens all the time. So I work with agents that email me, hey, Glenn, I'm about to take a $6 million listing on a property in northern Nassau, okay? But I'm not sure that this barn is legal. Can
it's
you tell me?
Not.
It's definitely not. And it's going to cost $15,000 to remove. And you know what? Even if you have an all-cash buyer and there's no C of O and the attorney says, okay, we'll deal with it, we'll use it because we have horses too, whatever the case may be, when they go to sell the property, the same thing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I think it's a realtor's responsibility to, number one, do their own research, okay? And if they have to pay for it, they pay for it. You know, if it's homework.
It should be probably a cost on the brokerage,
the
not
same
the individual.
Thing with the whatever, that's a different topic, and that's not up to me or the broker
and
to decide.
And each situation is different anyway.
Of course. But I would think that doing that homework is important. Now, if you know that there's no issues, and you can go on Acris in New York City and see that there's no major issues, and you want to do a judgment search, it costs $35, whatever the case may be, to make sure that the seller doesn't have any major issues and it's cause a closing issue, fine. But I tell the realtors, as you said before, you're the professional. You got it to contract.
Mm-hmm.
You got the inspection done, or you got the survey done because you had to let the surveyor in, or whatever the mm-hmm. case may be.
Appraisal.
You got the appraisal taken care of. You pretty much did your job for right now. There's not much more that they can do, okay, unless something comes up, and then they need to be the shoulder to cry on or laugh on or, mm-hmm. or talk about with the transaction. Then it has to be passed on to others. The worst scenario is when a realtor tries to get involved in everybody else's facet of the business, okay, and they're calling the banker, and they're calling the title company, and they're calling the attorneys,
right.
and there's nothing that anybody can do because we're waiting for the borrower's new W-2s.
I absolutely agree with that, Scott. And you know,
I'm talking pre-contract. He's talking.
Well, even at contract, pre-contract doesn't matter. The broker's job is to go through the whole checklist of the process of the
Correct.
Transaction, not to get involved in every little detail of it. You know, as a broker, you know, you wouldn't go in there and say, okay, these are what the rates are. This is what you're not going to do that. You're going
right.
to say, this is
Stay
what you need
what
to
you
do.
Know.
You need to talk mm-hmm. to a qualified lender. You need to understand where the rates are to make sure that you're getting the best. You need to understand the difference mm-hmm. between an adjustable and a fixed. Same thing with title. You know what? You are going to need title. Here's what the process is. But you know what? I'm not going to get involved
right.
in
Here's
what the
Glenn's
title
phone
company
number
does.
Or email
he
address.
Knows
right. He knows what to do. Just like I wouldn't, you know, you asked me the right. values of a property on Hell's Kitchen compared to for a 4,000 square foot compared to Chelsea, I wouldn't know the difference. That's not my job. That's
right.
not what I know. Huh. If I know that, it's because I've studied that industry. But
even
but
if you
not,
know it, it's not something you're going to advise
Correct.
To someone. You're going
Correct.
To say,
I
know a little bit
conscience.
About this, but you might want to talk to so-and-so because
and
that person is the expert.
It's very easy for me to deal with a consumer or deal with a seller's agent or a buyer's agent to ask me, hey, Glenn, I have a $1 million purchase with an $800,000 loan amount. Can you please get me a bill? It takes me about,
yeah,
I don't know,
that makes
10
sense.
Minutes.
Do they do that in the suburbs? Just do they?
Are you kidding? Of course they do.
Listen, it shouldn't matter suburbs or city. It should be a national platform.
Do,
and if you're working with,
exactly
with qualified professionals in the different industries.
Yeah, again, you're trying to say that realtors are not doing their job,
well,
but they are doing their
Scott,
job.
Scott, you're a realtor,
listen,
right?
Yeah.
When's
and
the last time you asked for a title bill?
Before every closing, you can
before a closing, not before a contract.
No, but I don't think you should before a contract. But when they're in the stage, if you like that house, you have to know if you have any money for a down payment. If you have to know, and what
the
would,
process?
The
yes,
process.
They should be going through the process.
Well,
okay.
Getting on that getting on that point, you know, Victoria, I'll leave it over to you. But thank you for having me.
Are you leaving us already?
I'm leaving, man. I got another plane to catch.
You scared him, Scott.
No, I think Scott.
You scared him.
Scott.
I know we're wrapping up. We only have a little bit more time. So, Glenn, thank you for being
no,
here.
No, thank you.
How do we reach you?
So, I can be reached at Kensington Vanguard at my email address, which is gasher, at K as in Kevin. V as in Victor, national spelled out, .com. That's G Asher at kvnational.com. You can also follow me at social media at Ask the Title Guy. So, Instagram, Facebook, Ask the Title Guy. Once again, Victoria, Scott, thank you for having me.
Of course.
I hope the consumers enjoyed the show. I hope the professionals could get in on it.
We're thrilled that you're here. Scott, how do we reach you?
You can reach me.
Just in case anyone wants to call you and debate you.
If any realtors want to hear what I think they should be doing, you can reach me at S4Cino, F-O-R-C-I-N-O, at exitrealtygroup.com.
And, of course, I am Victoria Rivadeneira. I can be reached at victoriariva.com, where you can find all of my contact information, including social media. Thank you very much for being on our show, for listening to our show today, and Glenn for being on our show.
Thank you, guys.
We really, truly appreciate it.
Got some information.
Yes, it was good, except you scare our guests.
From the Entergy Studios, it's News Talk 12.